when I was growing up, all you would hear is helicopter sirens, people being stabbed, shot, cops in our roofs looking for, you know, people. I mean, it was just concrete jungle. I remember him having, he had brass knuckles, and I just told him, hey, drop them or I'm going to stick you. Some mommy Chico on the floor. He's like, grabbing his stomach. Like, ugh! I thought they just beat him up. I thought they were just stomping on him. And I was like, what's up, man? He's like, man, they stuck me. They stuck me. And I got him up, lifted his shirt, holes all over, just blood everywhere. Mm. So I pretty much carried him to his house. I didn't see him ever since. You know, I was living a very fast life. You know, 17, got a girl pregnant twice. We got together because we want to have sex and we love drugs. Guys from the other side came. They caught him slipping. Mm. And then with a shotgun, boom, popped his head.
And he was someone that you looked up to.
And somebody that I used to work out with when I was 10, 11 years old. Quickly became top producer. I remember 1 month I broke a record. I generated 159 leads in 1 month. Offered a position. Start a division of Fortune 500 company. They need help growing their inside sales portfolio. So I moved to Birmingham to do that. Wow. You changed me because I can't.
Mm.
If you could do that, I'm game. I can't clean up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's when the negotiation started. Mm-hmm. Right. That's when I had a crucial conversation with God.
Hey, we motivate in the nation, gonna set the foundation, spreading positive knowledge, the crucial conversation. This goes farther than just feeding you motivation. As I let you in the basis of my operation, with such intensity, I say what I mean. The world is going crazy, man. I think it's time to intervene. Planting nuggets of wisdom till the cup overflows. Dive deep into the war room that I built below. Out the Golden State, baby. Yeah, I'm shining like a pro. All rise for the wheel, Rodriguez show. Let's go.
Okay, yeah, did you? I think you did press play.
Yeah.
Well, we're in, man.
Yeah, we're it's in. Exciting. I'm first in. Podcast.
This is the first one.
First episode. We're coming at you live.
Man.
Are you excited, bro?
Super excited.
So right. The name of the podcast is Crucial Conversation with Will Rodriguez. Today, mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting because I don't want to do the first episode mm-hmm. just because my wife was like, hey, you got to talk about your story. Now, I want to talk about my story. Yeah. I want to hear other people's story, right? But I think it's important. So today, we're going to talk about that. So I have Anthony Steele from Southern California coming
yes,
at you.
Yes, sir.
Woo! Man, I'm your host, Will Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And we're going to dive in. We're going to talk about my story and a couple other things. But before we get into it, be sure to like, subscribe, share. What else can they do? Comment.
And then also, too, notification. Turn on that notification bell.
Wow. Right?
So you see all the new, fresh content that will be coming in.
Very true. That's why he's here. Right. You know what I'm saying? Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Very excited to get started, man.
So we're ready to jump in.
I think we're ready. We're ready. We're not ready at the same time.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, tell us just a little bit about your childhood.
Okay.
Right? Just growing up.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
Okay. Growing up, grew up in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't notice, but you know, all my friends were gangbangers, and I used to hang around with the OGs. Mm-hmm. I used to play soccer in the street, mm-hmm. and it was kind of interesting. We would like play right with other kids, and the OGs would come and play with us. They were our friends, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was surrounded with a lot of gangsters in a sense, mm-hmm. and that's part of my environment. I grew up fast. I mean, but in the same way, I got into a lot of things early on, sexually active in a very young age. Started smoking weed when I was like 10 years old.
Wow.
Smoking meth at 12 years old. My brother got into gangs
mm-hmm.
early on. And, you know, we're already in that environment. So whenever your friends, your best friends mm-hmm. are banging out there, tossing it up, whenever mm-hmm. you see people from the other side, you know, getting into fights with people that you know.
Mm-hmm.
How do you process that? And I remember one time I was about 10, I would say, and I used to hang around with a few of the homies in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this one dude, I'm going to say his name, but I remember he reminded me of Crucito. Mm. Have you guys seen Blood In, Blood Out? Right?
Okay.
He reminded
me of Blood In, Blood Out. That's it. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So same what do you call it? Personality.
Mannerisms.
You know
what I mean?
Even his hair was the same, right? But when we went to Mexico, we came back after, you know, like a month.
Mm-hmm.
They told me that he got murdered. Apparently, guys from the other side came. I think it was like around midnight. And they caught him slipping, right?
Mm.
And then with a shotgun, boom, popped his head.
And he was someone that you looked up to?
And somebody that I used to work out with when I was 10, 11 years old, right? So
how did that make you feel?
When I was there, you're small. You don't know how to process things. Like, same thing with, like, you know, being active sexually at a very young age. You just, things just are normal to you, right?
Mm.
And when you're in that environment, you're not thinking about what's normal, what's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
If that's all you know, that's all you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came back, I was like, that's crazy. How did he get killed? Like, it doesn't make sense. Why would somebody hurt him? Right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the same way, I'm like, okay, so the guys from the other side are the ones that did this.
Mm-hmm.
And surely enough, like, when you grow up in that environment, you start thinking a little different, and you mm-hmm. start seeing things, you know, through another lens. Until you're out of that, then you start realizing, right, that mm-hmm. it's a hostile environment. But how I was processing that, I didn't really know how to process it. Yeah, when I was growing up, all you would hear is helicopter sirens, people being stabbed, shot, cops in our roofs looking for, you know, people. I mean, it was just concrete jungle.
Mm.
And growing up in that environment, like, you know, it taught me a lot of things, but also they came with a lot of hardships.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What types of, like, specific hardships kind of came about when you were in that setting inside of the hood?
Yeah, in that setting, I would say, you know, you're very active,
mm-hmm.
you know, with your gang, with the set that you represent, that just going to the store, you're already, you know, seeing if there's any gangsters, because if there is, you know, you're going to get busy, you know, you're going to get jumped, you know, you need to, you know, fights.
Mm-hmm.
So early on, like, I think I was like maybe like 13 already, getting into fights. I'm not going to say every day, because I try to avoid some.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like after people push you, you start fighting. You start learning how to fight. You start learning how to have a poker face.
Mm-hmm.
What will you do if there's 10 people around you and saying, where are you from? And then you're there like not caring.
Mm-hmm.
You toss it up. Like, what do you do? Like,
mm-hmm.
and that's, you know, early on, it taught me to have a poker face, to have to be careless,
mm-hmm.
to be reckless,
because
mm-hmm. you had to.
Mm-hmm.
If you showed signs of weakness, man, you're going to get smoked.
Mm-hmm. And when you were talking about, I mean, just the fighting and kind of going through what you were going through, I kind of think about it as far as like a gladiator and being in a hood.
Yeah.
Tell me what that was like, and how did you learn how to fight to make sure to protect yourself from the other side?
Mm-hmm. So, crazy story is, I was going to a middle school
mm-hmm.
where, I mean, we were like the main gang, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then my mom, you know, she saw that we get into a bunch of trouble. So she's like, you know, I'm going to take my son and put him in another school.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah.
Big mistake. What happened is that she took me to the middle school where the other side, where the other gang, you know, it's pretty much they outnumber everybody, right?
I assume your mom didn't know.
She didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it went from, like, I'm hanging out with the homies,
yeah,
right?
Oh yeah,
doing drugs, to now, dang, people are after me, right? And this is like every day.
Oh,
different
yeah.
people want to get busy with you.
Oh yeah.
They'll come in twos and threes.
For sure.
I'll be in PE running.
Yep.
And I'm like, hey homie, bathroom, let's go. All right, cool.
Yeah, we go. All planned.
We start getting busy.
Well.
Before you know it, there's like two people like hitting you from the back.
Mm-hmm.
Turn around, start getting busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all bruised up. That's very common for me growing up, being all bruised up. And and it's almost like, what do you do, right? What can my parents do at that time? Well, I mean, I was in school, right? But in the same way, it came with a lot of consequences being in that middle school. And that's how I learned to fight. And what I told you earlier, that's where I learned to really have like a different mentality, because if I showed weakness, then they will feed off of that. But what I realized is that if there's two or three guys coming my way and I acted like a killer, now I can hold my own, right? For example, there's certain guys that will come up to me and, you know, just start talking smack. And then I would just say something like, after school, watch what happens. A straight face. Right? Things of that nature. And they're like, what do you mean? Right?
Yeah.
You know, because you had to, right? And I remember one time there was about 15 of us hanging out. And we were deep, right? We were deep. I think it was outside of a middle school. I was already 16 at the time, but we were hanging out. I'm not going to say the name of the park either.
Yeah.
But we were all hanging out. And then we saw a car roll by with at least five people. They tossed up their set, and we tossed up ours. Didn't think much of it, right? 2-3 hours later, everybody split. And what was interesting is that it was just Chico. My homie Chico and then this gal and myself, we're walking through our neighborhood. Again, I'm not going to say what neighborhood, right? But I will say it's in the Mid-Valley, in Oceanside. And didn't know that they were after us. Didn't really realize that. So we were walking, and all I saw was people running around me. And I'm like, what the heck? Boom, boom, boom. What the heck? What is this? Before you know it, 15 guys, maybe more, surrounding us. And the question, the networking question, right? Where you from, homie? Tossed it up, right? Yeah. Just whatever, right? And you have to remember that a lot of people don't live past a certain age. And for me, I'm like, I'm ready to die, because, you know, growing up in that environment, people that go to prison, right? They're looked at as an idol. People that die, they're looked at as a hero.
Were those your role models?
Those are my role models, yeah. So when you have role models and heroes that are living that lifestyle, right? You start, you know, wanting to be like them. So going back to the story, so people, there was like about 15, 20 guys. I can't remember. There was a lot. It was packed, right? Hit me up. Where you from? Tossed it up. Before you know it, felt somebody punch me. I'm not sure if there's a guy in front of me. Somebody just punched me. Boom. It's on. Right? And I would say I had zero fear. There was no... the way I was like processing that, it was just like, man, like it's if it's my time, it's my time. I'm game, right? I'm ready. And you know, we started fighting right away. There was like 6, 7, 8 dudes on me, boom, like punching from all over. And I was like, okay, after a few seconds, I'm like, I'm gonna go down. I'm not gonna survive this. This is it. This is, you know,
finality.
Until I'm like, okay, I got to do something different, right? I really got to defend myself. So I started punching everybody in the nuts and kicking everybody in the nuts. Boom, boom, boom. Before you know it, I was left with only one person, because everybody was like kind of like retrieving, because I was just hitting them, just boom, you know, kicking and punching. And I remember that one dude that was the last guy I was fighting. Again, I'm not going to say his name, but I actually knocked him out in middle school.
Oh wow!
Knocked him out of middle school, and yeah, I was fighting with them. Before you know it, there's somebody in there's a neighbor or something. It's like, I'm gonna call the police, and everybody started just running, and just boom, like leaving the place. But what about my homie Chico, right?
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about Chico.
Chico. Obviously, didn't touch the girls. There's still a little bit of morality, right?
Yeah.
In the gangs, but someone called me Chico on the floor. He's like, grabbing his stomach. Like, ugh! I thought they just beat him up. I thought they were just stomping on him.
Mm.
I went up, and I was like, what's up, man? He's like, man, they stuck me. They stuck me.
Mm.
And I'm like, what? And I got him up, lifted his shirt, holes all over, just blood everywhere.
Mm.
I was like, dang, right?
Mm-hmm.
16 years old. This guy was at least maybe like 13, maybe 14.
Oh, wow.
So he lived like a couple houses down. So pretty much carried him to his house. I think his mom was home or something. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. But
mm-hmm.
I didn't see him ever since. No.
So you're not... Do you know if he's still alive? Or
he survived. Long story short, I think he's doing like a 15-year stretch or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. That was crazy because I'm the one that jumped him in. Mm-hmm. He was like... I was like his mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Teach him how to fight. Teach him how to bang. Teach him how to be active. And I even gave him that nickname, Chico, which stuck. And, to see him go down like that, man, it was brutal.
Mm.
Yeah, well.
Looking back, like, in hindsight, like, at the, you know, kind of everything that you went through and, you know, in the hood and how you grew up, all the fights and everything mm-hmm. like that, how that all culminated and came together, because you did jail time as well.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give a little bit of
insight? I don't think we're supposed to say that in the podcast.
Oh.
That's all right, bro.
I know.
There's a lot of people.
We have to bleep that one.
There's a lot of people that know me professionally. And yeah. So they're like, wait, what do you mean? So we'll talk about that.
Okay.
I was young. So
yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of time when I was 16. I was like already getting into a lot of trouble. And at that time, I did some time in Kearny Mesa in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And I would say it was pretty cool in there. It was I felt like it was like kindergarten, at least for gangsters, right?
Oh wow.
Because you're there eating 3 meals a day. I never did that before.
Okay.
Doing the push-ups, the sit-ups. My mom went to when she used to go visit me, she's like, man, they have weights in there? I'm like, why? Getting swole. I'm like, oh, okay. So I mean there it was fun just because I would connect with a lot of people from like San Diego, Southeast, National City. There's all kinds of different like gangs there.
Mm-hmm.
They had some people from like Escondido, Oceanside as well. And then somebody new will come up and we'll just be trying to negotiate who's going to hit them up. Like, it's my turn. No, it's my turn. No, it's my turn.
That's crazy.
My turn.
Yeah.
So it was fun, but, obviously a twisted way of having fun. But yeah, I remember that, I was going to be released. And then my mom told the judge, she's like, you know what? He's no good outside. You need to keep him inside. So she kept me locked up for a little longer. But
how did that make you feel?
At the time, I'm like, I definitely understand because there's already people, wanting my head. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little bit of influence in my mm-hmm. city. So I was already we're already kind of going against like a couple large gangs and a couple small crews.
Mm-hmm.
So people were after me. Right. So I'm thankful for sure. At the time, I'm like, it is what it is. Like, I mean, Juby was kind of like it felt like kindergarten at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel like that's where I belong because, I mean, people that were thinking like me and doing the same things that I was doing. They're already there. You know what I mean? We were just having fun at that point. Yeah.
What was it? I mean, who was the types of individuals that you kind of ran into and what type of impact did they have on you? Kind of like looking at their childhood, right? Because they're coming from all different parts of the county, right? And, you know, there's a saying that, you know, every ghetto is essentially the same.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But what was it like, you know, meeting other individuals that were now outside of your actual city?
I would say everyone had similar backgrounds, and everybody started at a young age. So I would say I think that's the reason we connected so well, because we talked about our childhood. We talked about the stuff that we did in the outs, right? And we just made a quick connection with a lot of people. Now, if you're a part of a certain gangs, mm-hmm. then it was game on, of course. Mm-hmm. But at the time that I was there, there wasn't a lot of fights because wow. it was majority a few games in San Diego, a few in Oceanside, and there are certain ones that weren't around the time, or if they did, then they would get booted.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now the promiscuity, right? Just talking about that.
Yeah.
How does that play a role too, as well? Kind of just coming up in the hood, because the family dynamics, obviously, right? I mean, maybe your parents are working; they're not there as much, right? Promiscuity. You said you started really young.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, how did that play a part? How did that play a role in you kind of like growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. I was exposed to porn early on. And then obviously sexually active very young as well. And yeah, it's just twisted, man. When you're in that environment, you're exposed to not only drugs, but sex. And growing up for me, I never thought about having a wife, being married, having kids, because mm-hmm. that's not that's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
At least in that environment, how you look at girls is just, getting girls for sex, being a player, being a pimp. The more girls you have, the more of them that you're dating, the better off you are, I guess, the more influence you have.
Did you have more status too?
Even more status, for sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where not a lot of people become good at, networking without even knowing it, right? I remember one time, I think I had three girlfriends at one time.
Oh wow,
that was ridiculous, bro.
Oh my god.
And what was crazy is that I remember two of them meeting, they were gonna fight, but then they didn't, then they became friends. So I'm like, wait, how do you guys twist the world
to come go against you, right?
Yeah, no, they were just, they were cool. I don't know, bro. It's a twisted world, man. It's a twisted world, okay?
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't know how that happens.
Bringing it all together, when did that change happen inside of you? Where you said, hey, you know what? I need to move in a different direction.
So my mom started going to church when I was about 17, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was not completely out of that life, but I was to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
I was more into the drugs, into the girls, the parties at that time. Not too much into the gang banging or anything like that.
Why was that switch?
I would say
more towards drugs and getting away from kind of the gang banging.
Yeah.
Were you selling drugs too?
I was selling drugs for a period of time.
Okay.
Yeah. But I would say it was just a little more fun, going to a party and just looking for trouble. Started getting old after a while.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time, I got jumped in a park. I think seven people jumped me that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at their park in their neighborhood, and I stole one of homeboy's girlfriends. So yes, they had a reason to jump me, right?
Yeah.
What was I thinking? I have no idea, but hey, it's just a world out there. I remember getting jumped, and the same guy, the main guy that jumped me, I saw him at a quinceañera, throughout places, right? That's where you fight. Quinceañeras and weddings, right?
Yeah.
That's where it goes down. So I saw him a month or maybe 2 months later, saw him, and right away I'm like, all right, here he is, I'm here. All right, I got my crew, he has his crew. Went outside, and I remember him having, he had brush knuckles, and I just told him, hey, drop them or I'm gonna stick you. Straight up like that.
Oh, wow.
If you don't drop them, I see your knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't drop them, I'm gonna stick you, bro. There's no reason for me to try to fight you
with
the brush knuckles. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And then his homie took the brush knuckles. I put my shank away, and then, went up to him. One punch, he was out. He was sleeping.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay.
Dang.
And then, boom. Turn around, 20 people fighting each other. It's just like that.
How many people did you bring to that?
I think I had 10 people maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did any kind of adults get involved too as well?
I'm sure. There were some adults involved. Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah. And that's, I'm not going to get into other things, but Mm-hmm. I mean, people are hospitalized. People were getting arrested, both in the U.S. side and Mexico side.
Wow.
There's a lot of stuff happening, a lot of crime happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it was constant beef, constant drama, constant chaos, constant, like, you got to watch your back or else. You know, who's at that party?
Mm-hmm.
We're still going to go, but who's at the party?
At the party.
And what are we going to take? Who are we going to take?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to call this homie so he could bring, you know, yeah, the tools. So it was a lot of that growing up. So, yeah, man, it was twisted and started getting old after a while. And that's when I kind of took a step back, not completely, but yeah, I mean, I was just kind of more focused on the partying, the girls, the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of to answer your question, you know, I was living a very fast life, you know, 17, got a girl pregnant twice.
Wow.
At a very young age. And we got together because we wanted to have sex and we love drugs.
Wow.
We love smoking meth together, right?
Wow.
And bro, it was like hell on earth. That relationship was crazy. And I'm not gonna blame her. I'm gonna blame myself because, you know, so twisted right inside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That I didn't really know how to, you know, how to be in a relationship, right?
Mm.
And I remember my mom started going to church and started inviting me. It's like, hey, we're gonna be in church, you know. She started going to church and I would say, nah, I'm good. And so we're gonna have food after. Oh, that's cool. what are we having after?
Yeah,
some Chinese food, some pizza, you know. Your boy gets down, so I'm like, all right, I'll go. So I went a few times, and it was kind of interesting because growing up, my family was Catholic, and we would open our doors to some Jehovah's Witnesses growing up, and they pretty much went through the Bible, and I'll hear them out. They would say, hey, Jesus is not God. Look over here, there's no hell. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, cool. So there, Jesus is not God, got it. There's no hell. So I could live my life, no consequences. Got it. Boom. Worst case scenario, I'm going to be sleeping for all eternity.
Wow.
Okay. So I could party here on earth, sleep all eternity. Got it. Say no more, right?
Wow.
And then obviously Catholics, they have their own way of doing things that is very different. But, you know, when I started going to a Christian church, they talk about repenting. I'm like, why am I going to repent?
Mm.
And, why will God even accept me after everything that I've done?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I've done so many things that, I mean, there's no way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, I was still living a very twisted life, and I was still with that girl, and we were trying to make it work, but it just wasn't happening. And I remember, like, we broke up, and I'm like, okay, cool. It's I was, like, I think, like, not even 18. Maybe 19, 18 and a half. And I knew that after hearing the gospel, I knew that I needed to get right with God. I mean, they were talking about Jesus is God. Wait, there is going to be a consequence and it's hell. And then when I was doing my community service to get out of probation, my record is sealed, by the way.
Wow.
I threw that in there.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading a pamphlet and it talked about, like, there's going to be a hell. I'm like, wait, hold up. Like, there's a hell and this in Revelation? Wait, Jehovah's Witnesses told me there's not going to be hell. Like, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and I looked at the Bible that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Surely enough, it said, you know, talked about hell.
Wow.
I'm like, they lied to me. What the heck? Why would they twist something that was super simple? And they would, why would they lie to me? And that's when, again, I went to the church and started hearing truth. And I'm like, okay, I know I need to get right with God,
yeah.
Right? But how?
Mm-hmm.
I can't clean up,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's when the negotiation started,
mm-hmm.
right? That's when I had a crucial conversation with God.
Mm.
And I told him, hey, I'm
what
hurt.
What type of negotiations?
So, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I was 18, 19 mm-hmm. at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I still wanted to do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I still wanted to sleep with girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, nope, I still got a long way to go, right? But I was dead inside.
Mm.
Miserable.
Yeah.
I would say borderline suicidal.
Wow.
Because, I mean, what's the point of living if you're really not looking forward to nothing?
Yeah.
Like, looking forward to what? To do more drugs? Like, there's really nothing. And mm-hmm. I remember trying to smoke weed again around that time, and it wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. Started smoking meth again, and it wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. Started sleeping with girls. It wasn't the same. Partying. It wasn't the same. I'm like, what the heck? That's crazy. The mm-hmm. things that brought fulfillment to me, you know, joy, if you want to call it the happiness, is empty now. And that's when I was like wrestling with God. I'm like, I still want to do more things out here, mm-hmm. right? But I do need to get right. I need something different. Mm-hmm. I need to be healed. Yeah. I told God, I cannot clean up. I cannot clean up and go to you. So mm-hmm. I'm twisted. I'm a sinful person, right? Yeah. I've done a lot of sins. Mm-hmm. You change me because I can't. Mm. If you could do that, I'm game. Mm-hmm. Right? My life is yours.
Wow.
But you do that because mm-hmm. I can't. Mm-hmm. That's when the change started.
Yeah. That's remarkable. Now kind of, you know, moving into, you know, that change has happened. and then you kind of getting into like, you know, kind of moving into business yeah. and moving into like sales. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about that transition.
That transition. Mm-hmm. So, you know, got a job in sales. Mm-hmm. A buddy of mine in church said, hey man, you like talking to people. Mm-hmm. You know, you're good at networking, mm-hmm. right? I wonder why. you're talking to people, networking. There's a position open. For where I worked, mm-hmm. And didn't know much about sales or nothing mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah,
but he said, oh, I could line up an interview mm-hmm. and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And I said, whatever, cool, I'm down. I was delivering bread at the time, so I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm okay with change.
Living bread.
What?
Living bread.
Delivering bread.
Oh, delivering bread.
Yeah, okay. My bad. Yeah. I was delivering bread at the time, and I said, cool. If you could line up an interview. Let's go. So that's where I got my first job in sales. No high school diploma, right? No nothing. Right. I'm like, cool. Like I apply. They're like, hey, if we give you an offer, are you gonna get your diploma? Can you get your diploma within a year or whatever? I'm like, yeah, whatever, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. I'll get it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where I started my career. And you know, after like a couple of days of training, got on the phone and it was more of a setter. Mm-hmm. So you would call companies and try to set up appointments. Man, the first day I was in training, I was in training maybe for like 2 hours. I remember I generated three leads right away. Boom, boom, boom. And usually people will generate one maybe a day.
Yeah.
So I generated three quickly. Not knowing much about the industry.
Was this cold calling?
Cold calling. Oh, yeah. Wow. And then from there, went live and quickly became top producer. I remember 1 month I broke a record. The record at the time was like generating maybe 100 leads maybe in a mm-hmm. month. I generated 159 leads in 1 month. Oh, and wow. I actually gave one away to a guy. His name is David. So David, because mm-hmm. He needed to meet his quota. I think the quota was like generating 60.
Yeah.
And he had like 59 or something like that. Gosh. And I was like, hey, bro, I told him to put it under his name.
Yeah.
So he could like meet his quota. So instead of having 160, I had 159. All right. But definitely a good month. Good friend.
Good call.
Yeah, that's how I started my career. Started, I stuck to sales and finance and business development. I was offered a position of a startup division of a Fortune 500 company. They needed help growing their inside sales portfolio. So I moved to Birmingham. To do that, wow. And doing a lot of different business-to-business type of jobs. Mm-hmm. Done some financial planning as well. Mm-hmm. One of the large clients that I have is the portfolio manager of Love Struck Stop. She reached out to me. Hey, I need help. My finances, help through her finances. And right now I hold an executive job. It's a big organization. So, wow. Yeah.
That's awesome, so, man.
That's
awesome.
That's a lot, huh?
Yeah, mouthful. No, it's good. And the podcast, I mean, why the podcast? Why Crucial Conversations?
Crucial Conversations, I would say, going back to the conversations that I have with God and negotiating with God, that's what I say, right? And Isaiah says, come, let us reason together. Mm. Someone's like, God wants you to have a conversation with him. Mm. Let us reason together. So for me, I would say I like having conversations, right? And deep conversations. And I like to have conversations with people that don't agree with me. Mm-hmm. You know, both.
Why is that?
Just because I think conversations need to be had. For example, when I didn't know about God, people would come and they would tell me about God, but it wasn't the truth. And I'm like, wait, how come he held back certain information, right? Mm-hmm. Still to today, I believe everybody, but let me verify what you say. Mm-hmm. And that's my attitude behind everything. For example, when it comes down to politics, you know, I don't know if it's a business podcast yet or whatever, but people say, hey, Obama was the greatest for, you know, minorities, right?
Yeah.
For Mexicans, let's say, he was like the best president.
Yeah.
But he deported more people than Trump ever did, mm-hmm. right? And like, whoa, hold up, right? Also, let me pick another side.
Yeah.
Trump, you know, he has a big influence. But also, he actually heard the Second Amendment more than Obama ever did. Mm-hmm. Whoa, what do you mean by that, right? So that's one conversation that we could talk about. That I think more people need to have.
Mm-hmm.
Also in church, let's talk about the system of the church. You go to church, you you know, hear music for 20 minutes, then 10 minutes announcements. Mm-hmm. There's a message about why you need to give. There's about 30-minute lessons on whatever topic. Then there's a song at the end. Mm-hmm. Why? Right? Mm-hmm. Is that helping people be more active in their faith or hindering people? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that system broken?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about racism,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about him on the next podcast, so tune in. But racism, how does that look like? Is it different for different people? Have you experienced discrimination? Well, maybe not. Maybe you have. Maybe you live in San Diego. It's different for you than living in the South,
mm-hmm.
right? Can Mexicans be racist? No, they can't. Mm. Oh, well, my parents are from Oaxaca, right? Mm. And growing up, I mean, they are looked down upon, right? And
why is that?
Because most people in Oaxaca are short and dark, and everybody disses them. Like there's different, you know, states in Mexico that diss them. People from Oaxaca. So, yeah, there's a lot of discrimination. Mm-hmm. So I experienced a lot of discrimination in a sense. And people from Oaxaca experience different a lot of discrimination, mm-hmm. both in Mexico and the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
right? And but also I have different experience in the subject of racism, right? I would say there is more black people vocally racist, right, towards me than white people. And I lived in Birmingham, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting. So let's have that conversation, though.
Yeah.
Let's have a conversation about business, networking. I mean, we could take different topics and go deep and have conversations that I think a lot of people are not wanting to have. Mm. But if you have conversations with people that don't agree with you, that have a different set of opinions, maybe transgenders, gay people, whatever, like, let's have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could not only learn, but maybe influence, or maybe just understand them.
Give us the vision of Crucial Conversations.
Crucial Conversations, I want to have you know, people like yourself on, and he's going to come back, by the way. We want to have more people like you, but also with different backgrounds. Maybe you grew up in the hood. Maybe you have a similar story like me, or maybe you have a completely different background. Maybe you grew up with money, politicians, cops. I could think about one person that used to work for the cartel, right? And we could have him. I have to fly to California to interview him, but we could have that conversation. Police officers.
That's deep.
We could talk about finances, who runs the country, wars.
BlackRock?
BlackRock. We talk about Vanguard, right? Who's managing, who's influencing all these companies to promote to promote certain things, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do they have a score, yeah, right? Do they have to keep updated with certain things or else, you know, mm-hmm, things happen, right? Mm-hmm. So I think I would like to have conversations with different people, business people, people in, with different backgrounds. But at the end of the day, get deep, mm-hmm, learn more, and then also sharpen people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I tell you what, I'm really excited about it, man, Will, because, I mean, it needs to have happened, yeah, those conversations, especially when you're talking about how diverse the conversation is, mm-hmm, right, amongst all different types of people,
yeah,
backgrounds, settings.
Yeah.
And, you know, too many of us, especially now in this day and age, have created a division,
yeah,
and a disregard. And what ends up happening is that if you don't believe in what I believe, then I don't want to have anything to do with you.
Right.
And what I see you doing is breaking the echo chambers, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that have been created amongst all of us to feel more comfortable.
Oof,
right. Yeah. But you're being able to break those chains, because that's what life is all about, man. And I'm absolutely just, really excited for it, man. And
yeah,
excited for the vision that you have,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and the vision that Jesus has given you.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, excited, man.
Yeah.
So that's a wrap for episode one. Hopefully that wasn't too much. Hopefully the DA is not like outside waiting for us or nothing like that.
Woo! It was thick. It was thick.
It was. It was. But
much needed, though.
Much needed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely.
And having this conversation.
Absolutely.
With that being said, if you liked it, like, subscribe, share, hit the notification bell. With that being said, keep fighting the good fight. Mm. Stay in prayer. Stay dangerous. We're out.
Peace.
Whew.
We got through that whole list of eight. I didn't think we were going to do that.
That Rodriguez show. Yeah, that Rodriguez show. Yeah.